Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm David Marsland, and this is The Leader.
Hello, we're from Woking Council for Public Health. You're one of the first few with the mass testing in the local area.
Specialist health teams were going door to door in Woking this morning, trying to trace anyone who may have the South Africa variant of coronavirus. 150 volunteers in Surrey have been out delivering kits, which were collected later and sent straight to the lab. More are going out in Ealing, Haringey and Merton, where the mutation has also been found. Matt Hancock says he wants to find every single case to stop it gaining a foothold here, but scientists are warning there may be other variants out there that are more worrying. A former chief scientific advisor to the government, Sir Mark Walport, says he's particularly concerned about a South American version. Our political reporter, Sophia Slay's here. Sophia, what's he been saying?
It was very, very brief. It was on Times Radio. But he, interestingly, he was talking about the South African variant. And then he said, actually, the one that I would worry about more would be the one that's emerged in South America. He didn't qualify. He didn't give much more detail than that. But I guess I've heard it before from you know, scientists and others in the know that they are worrying about the next one. It's the next step, the next mutation, the next unknown that they are, you know, most worried about. And you can see at the moment with the South African variant, we've got a great sort of system of door knocking people and tracing people, and they're, you know, hopefully trying to get on the front foot on that. But with the Brazilian variant, it seems like a bit of an unknown at the moment. And I've been asking questions. I submitted questions for our daily briefing with the Prime Minister's spokesman, sort of saying, you know, have you heard of any cases of this South American variant? You know, they sort of said, well, Public Health England is always monitoring the situations and the different variants and things like that. And, you know, pressed quite a few times, eventually sort of said, no, I'm not aware of it, but it's for Public Health England to identify cases. Obviously, I'm asking Public Health England and Department for Health if they have heard of any cases of this variant in the UK. And I'm still waiting to hear back from them. But this is kind of the game that we're in now, if I can use that unfortunate phrase. You know, we're in kind of a race against time, or, you know, a track and trace against time. You know, first of all, we had Kent strain, then the South African strain, and, you know, now concerns about this South American variant. And it's all three of those strains are thought to be more transmissible. And, you know, flights have been stopped from affected countries and things like that.
Yeah, and we can see on the ground how seriously the government is taking this potential emergence of new variations with this surge testing that's taking place in Surrey, in London at the moment, can't we, Sophia?
Yeah, I mean, they're physically going round door to door, knocking on people, swabbing people, you know, monitoring, you know, physical testing sites down in these areas. And I saw Matt Hancock was in the Commons this afternoon, and he said they are also looking at Bristol and Liverpool, I think it was, as well. And that what they're really worried about is these, you know, this being detected in the community as a community transmission, as opposed to someone who has contracted the virus coming in from abroad or, you know, travelling internationally. So that's what they're really worried about. And you can sort of hear it in the ministers this morning. Michelle Donnellan, the university's minister, who's on the media round this morning, she was, you know, urging people to stay home. And particularly in these areas, she said, you know, obviously you need to go out shopping, but she said think twice before you do. Do you really need to go out for that essential shopping, or have you got things at home? And you know, the government scientists as well. I mean, there was one advisor, Professor Andrew Hayward. He's one of the SAGE advisory group members, and he said these cases, these isolated community cases, is about, well, there was 11 of them this morning. You know, he said they're just the tip of the iceberg.
But we do have this huge vaccination program, 1 million jabs given in London alone, as revealed by the Evening Standard earlier. There is a lot that's going on. There is a lot that the government does have to shout about.
Yeah, they really have. And I think Kate Bingham, who's the sort of architect of this plan, got quite a lot of stick in the press, actually, not long ago, for spending on consultants and things like that. But actually, you know, she should be lauded for all this, you know, that she's achieved. You know, you've only got to look at our partners in the EU who've had a, you know, they've been in a bit of a pickle over this the past few days, to say the least. So, yeah, I think it's something that you know, we should appreciate and nod to the government that they have done a good job on this, and they do continue to do a good job. Obviously, you know, there's lots of people, millions of people that are awaiting their second dose. And you know, we say that, you know, all these millions of people have been vaccinated. You know, they are still awaiting their second dose. Fingers crossed it all goes really, really well. They seem to have everything in hand. You know, I know people that have signed up to be vaccinators, and plenty of my family, three members of my immediate family, have been vaccinated. So, you know, from, you know, an observer's perspective and a personal perspective, you know, it is an extraordinary feat, really.
There's more on this at standard.co.uk now.
And I just hear, where is she? Where is she? And this was the moment where I thought everything was over.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez hit Instagram for a live broadcast recounting her experience of the Capitol Hill riot last month, in which she also revealed she's a survivor of sexual assault.
Oh, by the way, some of the other representatives who actually encouraged people to threaten members of Congress or tweeted out the location of the speaker are now telling me to apologize. These are the tactics of abusers. And how I felt was not again.
That's generated headlines around the world. Social media is a powerful tool for politicians, but it's also a controversial one. As John Arledge writes in the Evening Standard, there aren't many things Joe Biden and Donald Trump agree on, but curbing the power of Silicon Valley giants is one, and not just your Facebooks and Twitters. John's with me now. John, how much power does big tech have in the States right now?
All the tech giants are more powerful than pretty much any companies we've seen before. I mean, people think about big oil, or they think about big pharma, but really there's nothing to compare with the scale and reach of the tech giants. I think the latest figures show that Facebook has about 3/4 of the adults in the world on its platform. This gives it and the others enormous power, and it's difficult to see how they are going to avoid being regulated more strongly, because not only do they have this great power, but many people see them misusing that power. And I guess the apogee of that was the storming of Capitol Hill on January the 6th, where many people felt that social media in particular was responsible for radicalizing those activists that stormed Capitol Hill, and also in some cases encouraging them to do what they did that day. So they are hugely, hugely powerful, and their day of reckoning as far as regulation is coming. What form it will take, let's wait and see, but definitely they are going to be more regulated.
But that's interesting, the form it'll take, because social media in particular is extremely useful to a politician. We saw AOC just last night talking about the Capitol Hill riots. She's picked up headlines around the world. It can be massively influential. How do you curb the bad on something like Instagram, which she was on, while preserving the good? That can't, it must be virtually impossible.
It is incredibly difficult, which is one reason why nothing has happened yet. But the Capitol riot has changed the calculus. in favour of action and at least trying to sift the good from the bad. One way you can do it is to be much more muscular in your moderation and much more muscular in calling out untruths and in some cases just banning people who are being totally irresponsible, as Facebook and Twitter have done to Donald Trump after he decided to tell everyone that the election result was a phony and the election was rigged, which I think we can, most people can agree would fall into the category of just kind of A, wrong, and B, irresponsible. So maybe it's in that area where something is either false or irresponsible or both that they can act. But it is difficult. You're right. It will require an awful lot of human moderation, but it's going to be difficult. It's going to be very difficult, but it's coming.
So there's been a lot of talk about overturning Section 230. Donald Trump spoke about this a lot. We have to get rid of it, he said. It looks like there's pressure on Joe Biden to do the same, and he appears to be quite sympathetic to that idea. John, first of all, what is Section 230? How can overturning that make a difference?
Section 230 is the US law, which is the tech companies' get out of jail card. It's essentially saying that they are nothing more than notice boards, giant electronic notice boards that on which users can pretty much post or do whatever they want, and the tech platform can't be held responsible either for the content or any consequences that flow from it. So that's, for example, an easy to understand example of this is that's why if a restaurateur has to close his or her restaurant after a bad review or a series of bad reviews, the platform that published those reviews, let's say it's TripAdvisor, can't actually be sued by the restaurateur. It's a free-for-all. And I think what has happened definitely lately, particularly around events in Capitol Hill and the election in America, is that because so much traffic on these sites is now political and that has such real-life consequences, many regulators are saying, look, actually, you are publishers. You are like newspapers. You are like magazines. You are like television and radio. You are part of the news production machine, and you should be held responsible for the content on your sites in exactly the same way as the Evening Standard and all other newspapers and magazines and radio stations and TV stations are held responsible. The Evening Standard, how I'm talking to you now, we are all liable, the publisher is liable for anything that we're discussing now, to make sure that it's kind of decent and legal and I'm not libeling anyone. So those rules do not apply to the tech giants because of Section 230. And I think that you'll see that change pretty dramatically. And the tech companies acknowledge that this will change. I don't think they're going to fight Section 230. They I think, realise that their get out of jail free card is going to be taken away.
So change, it appears, is inevitable. But in the meantime, these companies, I mean, their power is being shown by the huge amounts of money they're making, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, the results this week and end of last week show that extraordinary performance, largely due to the fact that we're all at home and using devices more and more. But also, you know, look at the share prices. They're at or near all-time highs. I mean, they are big, these companies. They are very, very rich, these companies, and they're getting ever bigger and ever richer, which again will concentrate minds in the new administration in Washington as how best to make sure that that power is used responsibly.
And you can read John's article in the Evening Standard or online at standard.co.uk. And that's The Leader. Hit subscribe and you'll never miss an episode, released every day at 4 p.m.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way. Because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.